I suppose my background would have been sports PR, sports marketing. I would have worked with Bill O'Herlihy for about 10 years. And I suppose with Bill, a lot of his clients were sports bodies and sports people. So you get an idea and understanding how sport works across the country and funding and programs and logistics around that. And we also would have worked with the Irish Sports Council, now Sport Ireland. So we'd had an idea of I suppose, what they do to support athletes. So I worked in that for a while, and then I made a bit of a career change and started working with Enterprise Ireland there a year or two ago. And I noticed there was actually no real link between enterprise, entrepreneurship, and sport. And it seemed kind of a little bit strange to me, maybe a missed opportunity, and something that both sides could benefit from. So looking at kind of the list of supports that were available through Enterprise Ireland and the local enterprise offices, there was a course called the Start Your Own Business course. And I felt if we could tailor that, make it accessible to sports people, it would give them an opportunity to maybe look at, you know, if they have business ideas themselves, maybe they want to start a business, or maybe they want to understand how a business works. And it's simple, it's a 10-module program, and it brings them from that idea or creating that idea right through to a business plan that could be funded by potentially an investor or a bank or a state agency like Enterprise Ireland.
Okay, so how did you find out if there was any interest out there for this?
We probably spent about 12 months just talking to people, talking to sports bodies. I would have talked to the PFAI, the GPA, Sport Ireland themselves, and then obviously individual sports. Well, I spoke to the likes of Dermot O'Rourke, Kevin Kilbane, and the feedback was just, it was kind of a no-brainer. Everybody said, look, this, if we hadn't come up with it, we'd have to come up with this because it makes sense. There's a multitude of offerings for sports people around education, scholarships and degrees, but there's nothing for entrepreneurship and those that might want to start a business. So something like this brings them into the kind of enterprise space where they can kind of access funds, and it makes it easier for them. And I suppose the more feedback we got, the more it made sense that we could actually kind of give this a go and run a couple of pilot programs, see if there was any interest out there, and actually I suppose translate that kind of goodwill into actual numbers of people doing the program that we could kind of point to and say, well, actually this could work as a full-time gig.
Very good. I suppose modern sportsmen and women lead busy lifestyles, and getting sports people into the one place at the one time to run a pilot program like this was a bit of an ask. In a bizarre way, did COVID help you in that respect when the pandemic hit in early March?
Yeah, we had everything ready to go, essentially. The only issue was trying to get a group of different sports people who all train at different times and have different commitments into one room. And the value value was having different sports people, because it's startups and that kind of area, it's a creative area. You want people from different backgrounds, from different sports. You don't want to just put a load of GAA people in a room, because there's a lot of similarities there and people have similar experiences. So it's more creative to bring different people together. So what we did, I suppose, the pandemic moved a lot of things online, and we said, well, look, maybe we can get 15 sports people from different sports online and they can engage that way. So that's what we did. And we got 15 people to take part there last kind of May, June, and they did the program. It would have run for, it was about 3 weeks. We had 3 modules a week. So they committed to going online for 3 hours a day, or 3 days a week for 3 weeks, to complete the program. And it would have brought them through. Obviously, some of them had their own ideas at the start. Some of them created ideas as they went along. And then we kind of, at the very end, they have a business plan, or the guts of a business plan, that they can kind of say, well, look, I'm going to come back to this, or maybe I'd like to go forward with this and see if I can give it a go. And I suppose the benefit for them is that, look, they can work at it in their own time. Sports people, they train, they travel. It's, you know, 9-to-5 jobs don't suit them when they're in competition. So to be able to create a business that suits your schedule and I suppose that you're passionate about, and also I suppose it's a distraction from sport, it's not, I suppose, and Sports Ireland probably would say it's not healthy to always be focused on sport and competing, the holistic piece that you need to have things outside of sport to, you know, be passionate about and focus on. And you'll obviously seen stories kind of regularly about sports people who just stop, and they talk about this black hole that there's nothing to fill there. There's nothing for them to be passionate about like they had when they were competing. So to have something like it, maybe they're starting a business or they've started their own business that they can be engaged in and be passionate about, it kind of helps that transition piece that sport has kind of struggled with for a long time. So that was kind of that's kind of what happened.
Just on that, Declan, because one thing we're noticing here over the last 9 or 10 months from talking to sports athletes, male and female, of various generations and ages when there isn't much live sport on, is that the pandemic has given them time to think and to have perspective on what they've been doing with themselves and where they're going, maybe sports career-wise, maybe in life in general. And I'm just wondering if that's part of it too, that it enables people who have been immersed in sport for so long to refocus.
Definitely, and I think the pandemic has shown how fickle a lot of things in our lives are, and how everything can just shut down, and no more so than sport in Ireland. I mean, a lot of people, the majority of full-time sports people in Ireland are not, you know, they're not earning big wages. They're competing for their love of it. They're getting probably small grants to help them do that and sponsorships. I suppose when everything shut down and they couldn't do what they loved, it was always going to kind of refocus the minds, look at, you know, maybe life beyond sport. What, you know, obviously sport was always going to restart, but I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, well, we don't know when it's going to restart. When there was no talk of a vaccine, God only knows, you know, we didn't know what timelines were there. So you have people who would have competed who just kind of were shut down, couldn't train, couldn't compete, and they're thinking, well, I suppose, what do I do now? So, yeah, it's a good opportunity for people to kind of take stock. And we would have seen that and probably obviously helped us in kind of recruiting people and getting interest in the programme. So,
do you have plans to roll it out again this year?
Hopefully we will, Austin. We did two pilots last year. We did one kind of before summer and one after summer. The feedback was, I suppose, 99% positive. Everybody wants it to happen again, but it's just a case of how we get it up and running. We had two pilots, and now it's a case of, I suppose, we kind of have to see where it fits into the program, but we'd certainly try and make it happen in 2021, because there's certainly a desire for it to happen, and hopefully there's still the interest out there. I mean, from speaking to the likes of the PFAI and the GPA, they constantly have people coming through who want to look at something like this and want to get engaged with opportunities outside of the sport. So, yes, hopefully it'll all go ahead now this year.
Can I ask you about your own background, Declan? You mentioned you worked with O'Herlihy Communications for a number of years. You are a Sligo man?
Yes, I am a Corry man. So born and bred in Corry, and would have obviously played with Corry Bowes for several years. Long time ago now, I think my last match was a Corry Cup final in 2005. So I haven't played really much since. So went from there. I studied in Dublin and kind of went on, worked with Bill O'Herlihy for the guts of 10 years, which was a great experience. And I suppose great opportunities to work with a lot of different sports and sports people and different organisations as well. And obviously learn from somebody like Bill was a pleasure. So got it, and obviously got to do a lot of great events, things like Rally Ireland, obviously up there in Sligo. Was involved in a couple of Olympics, Irish Opens, and stuff for Aviva as well around rugby and football. So it was it's been a fantastic experience. I got to work with some really great people. So that's kind of the background.
Sure, yeah, and you're coming into contact with sports people, of course, by the nature of your work. I mean, I'm just wondering what someone like you, who has worked in sports PR, marketing, sponsorship over the last decade and a half, Declan, what, if anything, the pandemic has changed in terms of sport? What are the things that you, the sea changes you potentially see happening?
I think there's going to be a lot of changes, both logistically on how sport operates, but also commercially. And that's going to have impacts on sports. I mean, the big sports have been impacted by ticket sales and not having been able to get fans through the gate. They probably won't be hugely affected by sponsors, who will probably, I suppose, bite their lip a little bit, and there will have been contractual obligations they'll have had that they'll probably, for the sake of the size of the sport, they'll kind of say, well, look, we'll kind of push on. That won't happen with small sports, and there'll be a squeeze on commercial spend, sponsorship wise, that'll probably affect smaller sports who maybe wouldn't have been reliant on ticket numbers because they wouldn't have huge audiences coming through, but would be reliant on sponsorship revenue and things like that. But I think the main impact is kind of shown is the impact that fans have on that whole experience, that whole sporting experience. And I suppose it occurred to me on Saturday watching, or Sunday watching, Liverpool Manchester United. I mean, the game was bad enough, but it was made even worse because there was no fans, there was no major buzz around it. And you'll have seen it, I suppose. Sligo Rose had a fantastic end to the season, but it all felt a little bit flat because people were looking on, you know, on Twitter to kind of celebrate, as opposed to being able to kind of celebrate it in person. And no doubt there would have been huge crowds for the last couple of games of the season in the showgrounds. And it has a massive impact on people. I think people will value the impact that the fans have, and sponsors will value that, because it played such a huge part in people's lives. I suppose even for people going to the showgrounds, there'll be people there. That would be the main part of their week that they will look forward to. And then the match is probably secondary to the kind of social interactions that they have there and what they get out of that. So the you know, everybody wants sport back, but I think it needs to come back properly. I think people are probably getting a little bit bored, probably a strong word, of lack of audience, but probably, you know, people would like to see fans back sooner rather than later. And I was actually talking to Sean Murphy, who's a snooker player, who was a world champion there recently. And snooker, people will know snooker, you would think fans have very little impact on snooker players. But Sean actually said, I asked him, you know, was it like without fans? And he said, absolutely rubbish, you know. And it's not like they can create an atmosphere, but even they are noticing how kind of a substandard product sport is without kind of fans there on the sideline and cheering in the stands. So I think the sooner they're back, the better. And hopefully normal service will resume.